following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and this is Crane's Daily Gist for Monday. According to a Boeing statement over the weekend, the company knew months before a deadly 737 MAX crash that a cockpit alert wasn't working the way the company had told buyers. But the plane maker didn't share its findings with airlines or the FAA until after a Lion Air plane went down off the coast of Indonesia in October, which occurred after erroneous readings by a single angle of attack sensor triggered software that pushed the jet's nose down until pilots lost control. Boeing's latest disclosure raises new questions about the 737 MAX's development and testing, as well as the company's lack of transparency. The software delivered to Boeing linked the signal with a second cockpit gauge available for a fee. As a result, the signal light, which warned pilots of issues with the sensors, functioned only for customers that purchased the optional indicator. Coming up, we'll talk with Crane's Chicago Business reporter Claire Bushy about the latest development in this story and its potential consequences for Boeing in the long term. Governor J.B. Pritzker hopes to have recreational use of marijuana legalized in Illinois by January 1st, 2020. If successful, Illinois would be among the largest states to legalize recreational use. The governor and legislatures said that a bill has been in the works for months and will be introduced in the General Assembly this week. The law would allow those 21 and over to legally purchase cannabis for recreational use from licensed dispensaries, as well as grow as many as 5 plants at home. It also contains language to automatically expunge previous criminal convictions for marijuana use. Retail sales of marijuana would be taxed by the state at 10 to 25% depending on the concentration of THC. Growers and processors would pay a tax of 7% on gross sales. More on both of these stories and others at chicagobusiness.com. Coming up, perspective on the strategic consequences for Boeing. That's after a quick word from our sponsor. A Chicago-based institution, Wintrust Commercial Banking, provides area businesses with local decision-making and a personalized focus. With specialty services for specific industries and tools like treasury management, commercial lending, and wealth services, the dedicated team will support you and your business through every need. Wintrust Commercial Banking was built here in Chicago to serve Chicago businesses. Learn more about how they can help you achieve your business goals at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We're joined now by Crane's Chicago Business reporter Claire Bushy to talk about the latest development in this Boeing 737 MAX crisis that we mentioned at the top of the show, and hopefully gain perspective on the strategic consequences for this point on for Boeing, because there seems to be quite a bit. Claire, catch us up. We heard over the weekend that there was information that was not disclosed to airlines and the FAA. At what point is it just too far for them to reasonably recover?
When we talk about reasonably recover, their reputation is certainly under threat at the moment, but it's not like the company is going to have a going out of business sale anytime soon. They are extremely well cushioned, and yes, cash is going to be a problem for them this year. I don't think that, you know, we need to weep for Boeing just yet. What's going on, though, with the company right now is, as you said, they did not alert the FAA or airlines that they had a malfunctioning angle of attack alert until after the first Lion Air crash. And that has justifiably made a lot of the pilots' unions unhappy.
And so if I understand it correctly, and again, you know so much more about this story than most because of just how much, how much focus has been on it and how just it keeps evolving as a story. The sensor that could have alerted pilots to an issue was, if I understand it correctly, it was an extra. It was kind of an upsell that didn't come standard in the purchase of the aircraft.
Boeing told the airlines that the alert, which would tell a pilot if the plane's two angle of attack sensors were giving readings that did not align. Boeing told airlines that this alert was still on the plane and still functioning as it had been on the 737 next generation that preceded this plane, the 737 MAX. That was not correct. Because this alert was linked to a second cockpit gauge that you could only get if you paid more for it, because these two things were linked, this airline alert was not actually functioning. And Boeing knew this before Lion Air crashed in October. And they only told the airlines and they only told the pilot unions after the first crash.
And as we were talking about last time we had you on the show to talk about Boeing and just this ongoing saga with them, this story is, I think, so fascinating and it has gripped so many people because it veers into other areas so quickly, including like a very human and emotional one about life and safety and livelihood. But at this point, is this kind of the like slam dunk for this to open a lot more legal activity, knowing that Boeing knew about this prior to the second crash, the crash of Ethiopia Airlines?
I certainly don't think it would play well with a jury should it ever come to that. Most cases, of course, settle. But I do think that attorneys for plaintiffs will welcome this development because it does improve their case against the manufacturer, which has argued time and again that these crashes were caused by a series of events of which Boeing's planes had a part in it, but they have also pointed the finger at the pilots. And so this makes it easier for plaintiffs' attorneys to make the argument that this was about Boeing.
And, you know, I think the finger pointing at pilots and then the pilots' unions coming back, that in and of itself is its own part of this story. I'm thinking of the very human part today. You know, if I had a family member on that Ethiopian air crash, how devastating to know it wasn't a freak accident, that like here we know for sure this is something this company knew. And, you know, my loved one's life could have been saved if things could have gone differently. I think that part of it is just such a heartache to consider and to put yourself in the shoes of the surviving family members.
Well, I think it is difficult to do that. I think that's difficult to do regardless. The surviving family members have lost people and will grieve long after the news media moves on. I mean, Boeing is going to recover from this. The people who lost the people they care about, this is going to go on forever. I mean, it just that's just the way it works. So that is, of course, is the bottom line.
Yeah. So what is the timeline in the foreseeable future that we're looking at for Boeing, their next moves? And how this is really, you know, playing out with shareholders. We just had about a week ago the shareholder call, and this seems like suddenly, well, wait a minute, we got to go back to that a little bit, because this certainly seems like something that's going to impact the bottom line. We saw this reflected, there was a response that was reflected on Wall Street this morning. What are the next steps for Boeing?
The next step for Boeing is that they need to get the software fix approved by the FAA. And they're doing the test flight for the FAA, should be happening this week. And they also need to bring international regulators back on side to try to get them to also approve this software fix and the new training for the pilots. Because if they don't take the FAA's word for it that the plane is safe to fly, then they will have to do their own separate approval for the MAX, which will mean the plane will be grounded longer, which will mean that Boeing will continue to lose, you know, $1 to $2 billion a month. So obviously Boeing wants to get this done as quickly as possible.
And airlines too, I imagine. You know, we were talking last time about how, you know, airlines have planned out through August to, okay, this is how much we'll lose if this goes through August. But, you know, that's right around the corner. So I'm sure there's pressure from airlines too to like, hey, we need to get these planes back in service. But we also want to, you know, we need to allow our passengers to trust us. So it seems like just very, very high stakes with this story. And I think that's why a lot of people are really attaching to it, and why it continues to fascinate in its own morbid way, because of the stakes being so high, literally a matter of life and death, with this very large company dealing with other very large companies. And there, you know, there's just so much there.
Yeah, I mean, it's Boeing, so it's a storied company that is associated with the entire history of commercial flight. Everyone knows it. It's also, hand in glove with the government because of its defense contracting business. It is an incredible amount of money, and it's something that the ordinary public can understand because we all fly on planes. And a lot of people are dead now. And people, it's scary and it's horrifying. And that's why people want to, they want to know every single turn of the screw as this happens, because it's something that, it's not just about money, it's about lives.
Right. And because this story has been so discussed, and it continues to, you know, conversation still evolves around and revolves around it on social media, what do you think, from your point of view, given how much you've thought about and talked about this story and reported on it, from your point of view, what is the piece of the narrative that's often missing from the conversation when people are talking about this outside of this industry, just the average passenger sharing this on social media? What do you see that is often kind of missing, or a consideration that you wish was higher up, playing higher up in the narrative?
I guess it's two things, and they are a little bit opposite one another. But I've talked to, you know, a number of people, and always the conversation revolves around, you know, the financial impact to Boeing, and, you know, that makes sense. You know, it's a business. That's what we write about. But, you know, there's 346 people who are dead here. It's hard in all the coverage about how this affects Boeing's finances. People don't talk about as much about all the people who were killed. And I think that is something that many of the employees at Boeing think a lot about, and I think that it's hard, though, to understand or accept that, because it's in some ways very abstract. So there's that. But the opposite thing is, this is going to, in all likelihood, go away, because they're going to fix the software in the Macs, they're going to issue the training standards for pilots, and the Max is going to continue in service, and it will become a plane that people fly on the same as any other, much as the 787 Dreamliner, which had the batteries catch fire when it first entered into service. You know, no one talks about being afraid to fly in a Dreamliner now. Planes crash sometimes, but we all keep flying, because that's the way modern life works. And so this will continue, and at some point it is going to be in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, that's a lot there. Well, that's why we will continue to turn to you for the latest and for more perspective, and keep our perspective focused on the right things. Thanks so much for being with us today, Claire.
Thanks for having me.
Continuing today's top headlines, Kraft Heinz said that it plans to restate earnings for 2016, 17, and part of 18, and that it found evidence of employee misconduct in procurement that increased the cost of products sold. The company said in a regulatory filing today that the effects of the restatements for supplier rebates and other misstatements are expected to be less than 2% in each year on adjusted earnings per share. The company said it did not find any evidence of misconduct by senior managers in its now complete investigation, and that it had delayed filing its annual report earlier this year because of the investigation. In February, the company took a $15.4 billion write-down and disclosed a subpoena from the SEC. Kraft Heinz also said in the filing that it received a second subpoena from the SEC in March related to its goodwill assessment and requesting documents related to its procurement practices. The company said that it's fully cooperating with the agency. Shareholder Warren Buffett, who played a crucial role in the formation of Kraft Heinz, said Monday he's confident in the company and that he'd been briefed earlier about the restatement issues. Equities slumped globally and treasuries rallied after President Trump's threat to increase tariffs on Chinese imports called into question the chances of a resolution to the trade war. The S&P 500 index tumbled by the most since March, signaling a potentially punishing week on Wall Street. That's after Trump tweeted a plan to hike tariffs this coming Friday. From JD.com and Skyworks to Apple and Caterpillar, tech companies with China exposure and machinery companies, which are seen as proxies for the trade war, were among the biggest decliners in early trading. Seeking to ramp up pressure on China for more concessions, Trump's tweets threatened to more than double tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods and impose more on top of that. China's foreign ministry said the officials were still planning to travel to the U.S. for the next round of negotiations, but it was unable to confirm when, amid signs that a delay is now being considered. More detail on this story at chicagobusiness.com. Coming up, the Pritzker Foundation is giving Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago $15 million to increase access to mental health services for young people. More on that story after this word from our sponsor. Wintrust Commercial Banking offers a full suite of financial resources designed to meet the needs of middle market businesses and larger companies. With comprehensive and personalized financial solutions coupled with bankers who get to know your industry's demands, Wintrust Commercial Banking is committed to providing the tools to help your business reach its strategic growth initiatives. You've got a vision for your business, and Wintrust Commercial Banking is here to help you see it through. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. The Pritzker Foundation is giving Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago $15 million to increase access to mental health services for young people. The gift, which was received as part of the hospital's For Every Child fundraising campaign, enables Lurie to address the shortage of pediatric mental health care providers in Illinois through training programs and research, the hospital said in a statement. In addition to training pediatricians to better assess and treat mild to moderate conditions like anxiety, depression, and ADHD as part of primary care, portions of the gift will also be used to improve the quality of resident and fellow training programs and to support behavioral health research. Lurie's Child and Adolescent Psychiatry Division has been renamed the Pritzker Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Health as a result of the gift. I'm Amy Guth, and until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thank you to producer Haima Black. Be sure to find breaking news, data analysis, and lots more at chicagobusiness.com, and find me on Twitter, and let's continue the conversation.